Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. It is good to be with you in God's house. It is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and I checked this week just to make sure that I was on the right page. So it is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and we are just a couple weeks away from our Easter celebration. So let's continue with that energy that we have in anticipation, but also rest in the moment that we have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let's turn to our announcements this morning. Again, there are quite a few. I want to first do a reminder to our ad board that there is a meeting on this Thursday at 6:30. Also, something that is of imminent notice is the Easter flowers are due today, so make sure you get those in so that we can get that order in as well. The Seder Experience sign-up is out in the front. Again, this is something that we invite us to. This is not going to have a Monday, Thursday worship service in here. We're going to have a Seder experience in the fellowship hall. It is not a full meal. It's just an experience. It's a sampling of some of the things that are a part of the meal and kind of an understanding of the Passover meal so that we can have a good understanding of what is going on into our understanding of Passover in the Christian community. Looking at our announcements, the women's and men's group are both meeting. That's the Women United group, not the Dorcas Circle. The Dorcas Circle is not meeting this month. The Men of Faith are be meeting in a different room, so take note of that, in room 8 instead of over in the community center. The Lenten offering for VBS is, we have a couple more weeks of getting that, so continue to support this important ministry of the church. The Easter baskets, there is places for you to bring those items so that we can have baskets for the community children when they come to the community Easter egg hunt, and we want to make sure that we participate in that. The Jackson Area Ministry seeds and donations are also something to keep in mind. Let us begin our time of starting our worship with the prelude.
Thank you. rise for the call to worship, printed in your bulletins. The Lord is making a new covenant with the people of God. We are children of the living God.
Together, let us worship the Lord.
Please remain standing for our opening hymn, Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days. It is in page or number 269 in your hymnal. We're going to do verses 1, 3, and 4. May be seated. Our opening prayer is printed in the bulletin. Please join me. Engraver of the human heart, we long for your law of love to burst forth with every beat of our hearts. Work within us this day that the majesty of your love may shine through us in everything we say and do. Put a new and right spirit within us, O Lord, that motivates our worship and our lives. Amen. Can I have the children come forward? And we are going to do something a little different today because I need this microphone. So if you guys can come right up here and just stand against the altar.
Or kneel, whichever feels comfortable.
Or kneel. Yep, that works.
I'm going to lean over here.
All right. So what, hello everybody, what is today?
Come on up. There
you go. It's St. Patrick's Day. And I want you to turn around, and if you have a clover on, an earring, a necklace on your shirt, on a scarf, I want you to raise your hand or stand up. If you have a clover on, see all the clovers out there? Yeah, there's a clover right there. Now, guys, I am a 4-H girl, okay? Yeah. I did 4-H and still participate in that on a level. And so that's all about four-leaf clovers, right? But how many leaves do most clovers have? Three. And so what I'm going to give you today, no snack, but I'm going to give you a craft, okay, that you can do. And what you're going to get is a card that just has a simple little stick. And do you know what this simple little stick represents? What do you think? It represents me. And you're gonna get a card with a simple little stick on it that represents you. But we're gonna make it awful special because God gave us something that's amazing. The first thing he gave us is him, right? So I'm gonna give you a heart, and we're going to stick it on here, so it's going to look like that. Okay? So that's going to be God. And there's somebody God gave us on Christmas Day. Who did he give us on Christmas Day? He gave us Jesus. So guess what? We have, this messed up. Well, we're going to pretend. This is Jesus, going to represent Jesus. And what we would do if my sticker worked is we would put it right there. God and Jesus. But there's a third. What's the third thing? The Holy Spirit, absolutely. So we have a third, and that one didn't work either. So here's the third, and we're going to put it right here to represent the Holy Spirit. And now what did we create? We created the clover, didn't we? That's the most appropriate for St. Patrick's Day. So I didn't give you glue, and I didn't give you tape. You're going to have to find those at home, okay? But I'm giving you everything else. And what I want you to think about on St. Patrick's Day, when you see a clover, is think God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They're all beside me all of the time, okay? I always have access to them. That's a really cool thing, really cool. Let's say a real quick prayer. Dear Lord, please bless these beautiful children on this St. Patrick's Day, and let us all always remember the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I think we have some special music coming up, and let me give you guys these. You guys have a great day.
As we prepare for this song, I want you to think not of us as three people up here performing for you, but three people who are leading a prayer. It's a song of prayer. It's an invitation to the Holy Spirit to envelope us and meet us in this place. And if you want to sing with us, you can.
Thank you.
While the invitation of the Holy Spirit is made, let's continue in this time of prayer. Holy Spirit, we are aware of your presence. Truly help us to experience you, your love, in a more complete way. Open our eyes and our hearts, our mind, and our whole lives to the beauty of your presence, which is your love. It is experiencing your love that draws us in. So Lord, draw us close to you. There's so many things that try to pull us away from you, to distract us from your love, to even discount that your love exists. Lord, in your whispers, may they seem like a loud voice coming that draws us to you. Awaken us to a more alert state of your constant presence with us, that we can walk in confidence knowing that you are with us, that we are able to be a part of your mission in the world because of our confidence in your presence. Lord, your love is everything. We truly want to open ourselves to you and experience that. We cry out, help us, O Lord, to tear down any walls that we may have put up, even walls that we are in the midst of building. Lord, stop them. May your Holy Spirit be such an energy in us that we feel it. That it gives us purpose to take each step that we have. That we are your hands and feet. We are an extension of your love. It takes your Holy Spirit, your inspiration to draw us in and to draw us out. So we've invited you in, Holy Spirit, not only in this place, but in our hearts. Encourage us, give us courage, so that we can truly walk with you. Let us now share the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we have the Spirit in us. It is something that inspires us to be able to be generous. We want to hold on to things, but through the love of Christ, we are able to see that giving is so much more than it is in giving. So let us share from our hearts today with generous hearts what the Lord has for us to give. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? join with me in the prayer of dedication. With hearts washed clean and with spirits made new, we celebrate the joy of your salvation, O God. May the tithes and offerings we share reflect your love you have written on our hearts. May these gifts bear the fruit of your Spirit, and may they bless those who need it most. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Our scripture reading from today is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, this is the fifth message of our Lenten season sermon series. So if you've been on the journey with us from the beginning, then you know that it began with a covenant that God made through Noah. First, to establish God's everlasting relationship with all of creation, promising to sustain life. We also witnessed a covenant made through Abraham, where God called for Abraham to be the father of many nations within the family of God. And although we didn't specifically talk about the covenant made through Moses, we experience the intimacy that David had with the Lord Yahweh, that he attributed to the Lord, to the law of Moses. That covenant was meant to provide the means for the family of God to be in the presence of the Lord Yahweh. David's soul was revived, he says. And his heart was filled with joy through his relationship with the Lord as the Lord's ways became the light of his path, of his life. Last week, we jumped ahead in the scriptures to the New Testament to Paul's encouragement to the church in Ephesus to see that a relationship with the Lord is what completes our transformation, our maturation to become the masterpiece, the workmanship which God has created in us. It is through this transformation that we can live out our call to be children of God. It is in our DNA. We have the potential to be all our Creator desires us to be, but we have to put ourselves in the potter's hands, so to speak. Over the past 4 weeks, we have learned a lot about what God has done and does to express His desire for a true relationship with us. We have come to know this about God. So today we hear about another covenant that Jeremiah the prophet shared on God's behalf. It is here where we see that God's covenant making isn't just about making it known God desires a relationship with us. It is about motivating us to desire a relationship with the Lord. So how do we go from being mindful of the Word of God or about God to being motivated by our relationship with the Lord? Well, it begins with understanding this promise of a covenant that Jeremiah shared hundreds of years before Jesus claimed that the cup he raised at his Last Supper with his disciples was his blood of a new covenant. Jeremiah spoke to the Jewish people who had been exiled to Babylon while the Babylonian army was destroying all of Israel, including Jerusalem. Everything they knew of their lives before exile was gone. The warnings from prophets to change their ways, to stop worshiping idols and following their own desires against God's will had fallen on deaf ears, and everything they had assumed was theirs was taken from them. The Jewish people felt abandoned by God. But God was still there and speaking to them through Jeremiah. The message to them was that a time would come when they would return to the land that was set aside for God's covenant people, when they would return to the Lord Yahweh and His ways. And then Jeremiah revealed more of God's plan to them, saying this: The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Another covenant? Really, how many do we need? It's not about how many. It's about one that we can keep. The people of God had broken covenant over and over and over again. The covenant of old wasn't working. What was wrong with it? God didn't have any problem keeping up His end of the deal. God was faithful. The Lord was faithful from the beginning when He held their hand out of Egypt and was there even as a husband is with his wife when they arrived in exile to Babylon. The problem isn't with God, it's with the people. The problem is with us. We are incapable of committing to a covenant that is based on a set of rules. You see, we're good at making laws, but even better at breaking laws. We often want to know what the laws are so we can figure out a way around them, not so that we can abide by them. Laws don't and won't ever impact who we are. The flaw in covenant keeping is with us. We can't do it without something changing in us. Being mindful of God's ways is good, but it's not enough. God witnessed our failure to respond to the law and did something about it. For us to get on the same page as the Lord, we must admit that knowing God's ways isn't enough to change us. Even if we know the Bible's content, word for word, the knowledge doesn't change who we are or how we live. It does make us aware of God and God's ways, but there's more to know. How would this new covenant be able to get past our incapacity to live within the will of God and to find joy in relationship in the presence of the Lord? Well, Jeremiah prophesied, said, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." The old covenant was external in nature. It was written on tablets and scrolls and was dependent on circumcision and sacrifices to remain in covenant. The people were constantly bringing sacrifices to the temple because, well, they couldn't abide by what was written. They continually failed to love God and others and used the system of sacrifice to get around the rules. Seeing the cost being paid over and over for their own failures by the blood of animals, well, didn't impact their future motivations to go against God's will. They become numb to the blood. The external covenant wasn't being internalized. So God intervened and made a way to internalize the covenant by impressing the will of God not only on our minds, but imparting it in our hearts. God moved from aspiring us to follow to inspiring us. God is inspirational. Jeremiah wasn't given specifics on how the Lord would establish this new covenant. But we know them now through the revelation of Jesus Christ as the final sacrifice and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because first, Jesus paid the price for all our failings for all time, and by faith in Him, we have access to God's presence. Second, by the Holy Spirit who resides in our hearts, we have the inspiration to be changed, to be transformed. The This new covenant gives us the capacity to live within the will of God. We must surrender our minds and our hearts to God's inspiration. We must cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who is indeed our divine inspiration. This is hard for us because we are constantly being told to be cautious of anyone or anything that wants to keep us from doing what we want to do or being who we want to be. There's caution on our part. Reverend Dr. Derek Weber noted that many question what it means for God to change our hearts, and they resist surrendering. He says, because if this law, however benevolent, is written on my heart, do I choose anything anymore? Am I able to decide? Am I even able to think for myself? Have I given my deepest self, my thinking self, away? The law written on the heart doesn't sound like good news to many. Yet there is a different way to read these words that reveals a world of difference. When we surrender to the will of God, we become more truly ourselves. Are we resistant to surrender or willing to be motivated to become more like our true selves? How we answer that question tells us if we want to move from just being mindful of God's ways to being motivated by our relationship with the Lord. God doesn't want us to stop at knowing His ways. There's still more shared by the prophet. The Lord continued to speak through Jeremiah saying, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will know me from the least of these to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Friends, we don't have to be afraid to surrender our minds and our hearts. For one, God, that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, knows us intimately better than we already know ourselves, because God created us with purpose for a purpose. Two, we are saved from the separation from God caused by our sin through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And three, our relationship becomes closer through the Holy Spirit, who gently shapes our motivations throughout our lives. Here's how it works. When we surrender our minds and our hearts, you see, that's when we are able to understand when the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. This could be to make us aware of how we are going against the will of God when the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, or if we are being urged to carry out the will of God. It's that simple. However, we have to be intentional about surrendering all the time. That's what a committed relationship with the Lord is. It's not a part-time gig. We also don't need to be afraid, because God loves us and is bringing out the best of us. Remember, Jesus already paid the price for our sin and gave us full access to His presence. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, our response shouldn't be shame. Rather, our response is confession, repentance, and making right any wrong we have done. We don't hide from the Lord. We relate with the Lord. It's a relationship, after all. A relationship that is motivated by love. When we return the love that is given to us through our surrender, that is when we know we have moved beyond the knowing the Word and will of God. And we know the Lord through a reconciling relationship, a two-way relationship. There's no reason to resist surrendering our minds and hearts. A relationship with the Lord is like no other that we can experience. Friends, we know what Jesus did for us. We even know his teachings. And we know how he lived his life within the will of God. We read it in the Gospels. However, we often expect the benefits of a relationship with Jesus without actually having a relationship with Jesus. We have to get past what we know to truly know the Lord. Let's admit that knowing God's ways isn't enough to change us. Surrender our minds and hearts to the Holy Spirit, and through a reconciling relationship, a real two-way relationship, respond to our convictions and our promptings from the Lord that inspire us, well, to live as children of God, but in the likeness of Jesus Christ. God is committed to his relationship with us. May we be committed to our relationship with God through Christ and live lives that are inspired, but also inspiring. Amen. And now looking forward, to truly celebrate Easter together in 2 weeks, we must remember the passion of Christ that led to the empty tomb. So next week on Palm Sunday, it's also called Passion Sunday, we will take the journey with Jesus from the Palm Parade to the cross. Let us prepare the way for the Lord. Amen. Please rise for our final hymn, The Gift of Love. It's number 408. Love is something that we know. Love is something we experience. We need to let the love of God in us so deeply that we truly understand how to love God back. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.